Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. And I am not your co-host or host, Michael Eric Owens or Deshaun Norton. My name is Richard Taplin, and I am actually the host of the Black Box podcast and also the producer here at Blackman Studios. Just want to tell you guys, first off, thank you so much, listeners, for supporting, downloading, sharing, the likes we get on Facebook. I mean, the support from our listeners is so strong. Also wanted to say, Michael and Deshaun, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. I listen to you guys' podcasts all the time, and the messages that I receive, the education level, the philosophical level, I mean, you guys are constantly pushing the envelope in podcasting and also giving out a positive, great message for our community and everybody to learn from. So I want to tell you personally, thank you so much, which brings me to my next point. February 3rd, Michael Eric Owens actually was a keynote speaker at UCO, and he sent me the clip of the recording that Deshaun did, and the message Michael was saying just completely blew my mind. And I called him up right afterwards, and I was just almost like an outer body experience. It was just so powerful and so meaningful. So we decided to put this show together. Because those two are doing great things out there, they allow me to get on the mic of their show and do the intro. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and play into the UCO speech that was held February 3rd. Once again, all the listeners out there, go to iTunes, find their podcast at One Mic, One Voice. Make sure you subscribe, review, and also rate us. Go to their Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Also, while you're there, don't forget to stop by Blackman Studios. Thank you again for all your support. And remember, it's Blackman.
Join us as we celebrate the third annual night with Ralph Ellison. February 20th at the Oklahoma History Center at 6 p.m. A night filled with entertainment, live music, dramatic dance, and readings from Ellison's work. To become a sponsor or to purchase your tickets, go online to RalphEllisonFoundation.org or call 405-788-0566. Again, 405-788-0566. A night with Ralph Ellison is sponsored by the Ralph Ellison Foundation, Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, Oklahoma City University, Oklahoma City University School of Law, Full Circle Bookstore, Fred Jones Family Foundation, AT&T, Bank First, Alliance for Economic Development, Center for Economic Development Law, and Blackman Studio.
Wow, who is that person? You know, oftentimes when you hear your own bio, what you recognize is that you're getting older. And with time gives you the ability to accomplish some things. First of all, I did not know that I had a limitations on the clock. So I'm gonna try as best as I can to truncate what I want to share with you today. But, you know, tip my hat to the Black Student Association, Office of Diversity, my good friend Dr. Sims, and Dr. Pope, and well-deserving of your award that's going to be now, Dr. Lehman, that's going to be now handed down for generations. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I struggled with coming here and sharing just some of my thoughts. I mean, we're in such a difficult moment in our history. I'm sure you are aware of the challenges that we face, but I'm going to try as best to stay within the context of our theme, Wake Up the Real Black America, enlightening, empowering, engaging central communities. But I think the question is, who must wake up? You see, maybe I should start my talk off today by saying how how far we have come as a nation, how we have corrected the wrongs of the past, or how as a country we have acknowledged the ills of yesterday and made some sort of restitution and contribution to those who have such suffered under this era. It would also be just as pleasant to talk about how integration and capitalism has benefited us all. Yet perhaps I go a little farther and just talk about how affirmative action has equaled the playing field. It's not that sort of talk, folks. I seek not to offend, but I do not pretend we are not in a moment of crisis, a sort of battle for the truth, for who we are and how we relate to each other. The philosopher, the dissident, the statesman, at one time president of Czechoslovakia and the first president of the Czech Republic, when it split, Václav Havel said this: "The dissident does not operate in the realm of genuine power at all. He is not seeking power. He has no desire for office or does not gather votes. He does not attempt to charm the public. He offers nothing, promises nothing. His action simply articulates his dignity as a citizen, regardless, get this, folks, of the cost." So I find myself today betwixt the halls of knowledge, sharing space with the learned, not just the learned, but the critical thinkers of our time. This great university symbolizes and sets a standard of truth offered to all that desire the opportunity to find it. Matter of fact, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois said, "The function of the university is not simply to teach breadwinning or to furnish teachers for the public school or to be the center of polite society. It is above all to be an organ of that fine adjustment between real life and the growing knowledge of life, an adjustment which forms the secret of civilization." So I ask you again, my friends, who must wake up? You see, we are at the sleep at the wheel of injustice. We're asleep at the wheel of economic inequality. We're asleep at the wheel of social and racial isolation. Who must wake up? America, you must wake up. While we slumber and sleep, poverty, mass incarceration, death, and destruction continue to infest our country. Oh, my America, you must wake up. While you hibernate, the American dream has become a nightmare for so many. Yet, get this, folks, in the moment of her consciousness, you pause to acknowledge and recognize the contributions of black folk. Yet it is so easy with your implicit biases and the fear of the other to lull yourself back to sleep. Oh, America, you must wake up. For the historical record echoes your greatness. Volumes have been written praising your mission of inclusiveness. America stands with her hands wide open, yet there is a systemic filter that marginalizes and demonizes those who you denote as unworthy. Not always, but mostly, black and brown folk fall into this particular category. Again, I ask you, who must wake up? You see, it's not enough for us to have a Black History Month. It's not enough for us to celebrate Cinco de Mayo or Hanukkah or Ramadan or Red Earth. We need true inclusion and access to the riches and opportunities that fall under all who represent the American flag. America, you must wake up. Our gathering today is situated and what I would call political madness, ongoing police brutality, The death of those who look like me represent the highest abandonment of the values of life and liberty. Mass shootings, folks, are commonplace. And the religious persecution of our Muslim brothers and sisters is shameful. Yeah, America, you must wake up. You boldly speak of an economy that benefits only 1% of our population. We witness each day a failed corporate media system who no longer can be trusted to convey the unadulterated truths of our society. For generations, the narrative has stayed the same, folks, but the last time I checked, the Constitution has not changed. Oh, America, you have made promises to your people. While you proclaim all men and women are equal, you remain silent to our plea. You see, the 14th Amendment not only grants me citizenship, it says I'm a citizen, but it clearly states, and I'll read it for you, it forbids states from denying any person life, liberty, or property without due process of law, to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. Now I ask you today, and I earnestly, with my heart, I plead, I ask myself this question constantly. Why, as a citizen of this great country, do I live in a state of fear and vulnerability? Sue Monk Kidd said that when compassion wakes up in us, we find ourselves more willing to become vulnerable, to take the risks of entering into the pain of others. Listen, racial profiling is real. With that said, how can we deny that black lives matter? I ask you again, who must wake up? Because see, America is in a coma, folks. The doctors of history, the modern day scholars, and the effective citizenry has been clear on this issue. This chorus rings through the ages with one solemn voice, declaring that our long summer of discontent must end. America, you must wake up. Y'all quiet, boy. Must wake up and enter into a new dimension of righteous dialogue. This is not a community conversation, but a national debate about race. From Florida to Washington, from Texas to Maine, we must deal with the hatred, the bigotry, the superiority, the inferiority complexes of our past and our present. Yes, the four corners of this dear nation, folks, we must reckon with this dilemma. And this awakening must be swift, deliberate, for our nation is crumbling. America, oh America, you must wake up. Now, I'm not going to just pick on America, so just stay with me for a little bit. Let us depart for a moment and speak more directly to the black community, if you don't mind. You see, it is easy for us to project our present-day struggles on the past. But folks, we have a role to play in changing our current circumstances. And no address in this hallowed month would be worth its salt without this aspiration. Wake up the real black America. Yes, black America, you too must wake up. Well, I contend that America brought you here against your will, enslave you, imprison you, the convict leasing system, folks, launched Jim Crow against you, stripped you of your culture and your identity, and denied you access to education and the right to vote. Yeah, that's true. But see, these ills have paralyzed some of you. Black America, you must wake up. Our communities are inundated with drugs and violence and prostitution. Although there is a church on every corner in the black community, drug dealers sit on the steps of the church and sell their wares. The statistics surrounding black-on-black crime, folks, is an epidemic. In my origin of my birth, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is, in fact, a dangerous city in the United States, 145 homicides took place last year. Black men are vanishing from our country, not just by the hands of law enforcement, but by the hands of people that look like them. Black America, you too must wake up. Look at the Northeast, Oklahoma City. How can we enlighten and empower and engage this community? Folks, I don't have time to dive into the state of education or the brokenness of our families, which are deep concerns and detrimental to our progress. But I will say this, as a community, we are better than this. Too many of us see these challenges as being insurmountable. Therefore, we give up before we start. While America struggles to acknowledge us, we must acknowledge ourselves. While America continues to disinvest in our community, we must reinvest in them. While the federal and state government continues to cut education, which affects mostly black and brown folk, we must creatively fill this gap. And I'm not always talking about resources, but by our presence and our involvement in the lives of our children. We must advocate for higher pay for teachers. By doing so, we will attract black men into the profession. And get this, and I believe this, you may disagree with me, but the inner city schools will never change until you interject black men into the domain. Black people, we must wake up. You see, we could correct our community and turn it around, but it will never reach its full potential until we are seen as part of the American landscape. I'm troubled by this notion that as a community, we need to separate ourselves, that as a community, we need to create this that only we can partake in. Folks, white America knows that will never work. They realize that they need your business. They need your presence. They need you in order for them to continue their livelihood, just like we need each other. This is about coexisting. It's not about separating ourselves. There is a jewel missing in the crown of America, and each community holds this jewel. Until each community can openly and freely place this jewel back in the crown of America, America can never claim to be the steward of justice, of fair play, and equality. She can continue to espouse these ideas, but folks, personally, I will never believe it. So how do we fulfill this theme moving forward? And I said I was going to truncate it, so I think we're doing all right on time. First of all, we must combat this attack on intellectualism. You know, universities are under attack. Budgets are being cut. For my great state, Governor Walker is trying to privatize the university system. Okay, there's attack on knowledge. There's an attack on critical thinking. There's an attack on our ability to reason and our ability to move beyond the differences that we have. And folks, that can happen oftentimes at the university because you are the conveyors of truth, the custodians of knowledge past and present. But I ask you the question, how many professors spend time weekly in our middle schools, in our high schools? Now, I completely understand this desire for tenure, this pressure to achieve such a status in the academy. Yet we need you beyond the walls of this university, beyond the archives, beyond the manuscript, beyond the peer-reviewed journals. We need you where the people are. Students, you too must wake up. You are the couriers of our future. We need you. It pains me that when I talk at these universities and I say to people, so what are you going to do after you graduate? And they say, oh, I'm going to get out of Oklahoma. And I said, why would you do that? They said, oh, there's nothing here. Well, maybe there's not everything here, but if you leave, you leave with your greatness. You leave with your talent and your ability. We need you. See, I'm not one of these guys that will hang on to the keys until I'm in the coffin and you need to snatch them out of my hands. I believe in empowering and giving you the opportunity to lead and to take us into a place that we could never imagine. You must stay in Oklahoma, stay in our communities, teach us, guide us into a world that reflects the true reality of who and what we are. Now, I'm going to say a little something, and then I'm going to close about Dr. Pope wanted me to say something about a little bit about what I do and what's going on in the Northeast community, and then I will close. There is a renaissance, so to speak, that's coming to the Northeast community. You've all heard of the grocery store. The Northeast community, first of all, is in a food desert. It doesn't really have a grocery store that provides adequate fruits and vegetables and so forth. And, not only that, it's a blighted community. I mean, you can't really buy a decent suit in the Northeast community, a nice pair of pants in the Northeast community. How many live in the Northeast community? Show of hands. Okay. So, the city has turned their attention to the Northeast community. And my role is to work with the city, to work with developers, to work with the community in a way that brings about development that the community needs. King's Crossing, 23rd, and MLK ran into environmental problems. They are working through those. The present moment, we are planning to do a groundbreaking for Northeast Plaza at 36th Street, which will be happening sometime this month. There's other things that are coming to the Northeast that I can't necessarily talk about right now, but trust me, there is a lot of attention coming there. We will get things there, and but it is a challenge because of the history of mistrust and the history of always being seen as the other. And my role is to mitigate all of that. So that's what I will say about that, Doc. But in closing, I will say this. And if you haven't listened to our podcast show, One Mic, One Voice podcast, my co-host, Deshaun Thornton, is here with me. That's my right hand right there. And if you haven't, give him a round of applause, because you know what? Deshaun is working on the front lines, working with our kids. He works in Millwood. He's doing a phenomenal job, and I just appreciate him. Check out our podcast. Sasha Shaw is here. Sasha runs the Ralph Ellison Reading Clinic, where she's working with young kids. Y'all can clap for her, too. Work with young kids. And I would like to see all of you at the Ralph Ellison Gala, which is coming up here February 20th at the Oklahoma History Center. It's a great event to honor Mr. Ellison, who was born here, Douglas High School graduate, wrote the one of the greatest books of all times. It was voted one of the 50th greatest books of the 19th century, Invisible Man. And I will close by saying this: history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.